And before I jump into the message, I want to just go back into last year just for a few moments and talk about the last half of the year. The message that I brought were surrounding a theme, and the theme was prepare for increase. That was the theme. And so I preached messages on prayer, on evangelism, that's sharing the good news with others, on discipleship, and then finished up with generosity. That's kind of how we finished up the year before we went into the Christmas season. And so kind of the way the Lord works with me is that I'm into something and then I realize this is God. Sometimes I don't get a sense about this is God before I start into something. I get into something and all of a sudden this is really God. And so as I moved out of last year into 2023, I heard this one word from the Lord. I heard the word expansion. Very clear. And so then after him speaking that word to me at the turn of the year, I began to look at all the ways that God was expanding us. And one of the ways that I recognized is I looked back and I saw that he had actually accumulated among us a way to disciple families. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. And so I need 5 volunteers to come up and join me, if you would. You're not going to say anything. Just 5 volunteers. And I want to kind of reveal to you what the Lord has given to us in our toolbox to expand and share with others. All right, 5 volunteers. I got 3, 4, 5. That's it? Yep, good. Just spread out here. In fact, come in front of the podium. That will be... That will be cool. I'll bring out my box here and we'll go. So what I realized is that the first thing that I preached was on prayer, and God had Wanda write a book that was available throughout the last fall, a book on prayer. It's called Words to Pray By. And this is an amazing book. It's very thick. 42 different topics on prayer. I was reading it the other day and I got so caught up I was missing my appointment. I mean, it's really, really powerful. So I preached messages on prayer. Then God gave us a resource on prayer. I preached messages on evangelism. Well, this has been around a while. My little book I wrote, we give all visitors, called Why Say Yes to Jesus. And so that's a book on evangelism that God has given us. And as we, again, it's in our toolbox that he's given it, we can share with others. And you can use it as a conversation piece. It's not necessarily a track, but you can use it as a conversation piece. Why say yes to Jesus and talk about it? And then as I got into discipleship, I realized that I had obviously written a book on called Living a Changed Life. It's 7 lessons, and the intention is that we don't grow through information, we grow through obedience. And that's the scriptural way to grow. Grow through obedience, not information. And that book is written from that standpoint. And we went through the fall. We went through 7 lessons of that together as a whole church. And then I realized that a couple of years ago, Nick and Emily, Pastor Nick and Emily, his wife, wrote a book for youth and young adults, a discipleship book called The Secret Place of Devotion. And that's written purposely for youth and young adults to be able to journal, go through the Bible, and learn how to hear the voice of God. And then as we were coming up on our discipleship series, Pastor Alicia got a download, and this is for our children, ages 9 through 12. It's entitled A Kid's Guide to Spiritual Life, that actually covers a lot of the same themes that are in Living a Changed Life. And so we have a book for children. And all of a sudden I realized, God has given us in our midst discipleship for the whole family. Amen. What an amazing tool. So we were talking to the staff this week, and we said, why don't we just make a bundle for our Crossroads family? So you can get all of those, all 5 of those, for $30. I walked out of the office, and I thought it was $35. They informed me in the first service it was $30. I mean, they cut the price after I left. Imagine that. You can get any one of these individually, or you can get the bundle for $30 this week and next week if you want to. Discipleship for the whole family. That's what the Lord did. None of us planned it that way. It's just God put it on our hearts and people started writing, and all of a sudden we have this amazing, all these tools in our toolbox to share with other people and expand as the Lord directs us. Amen. Give them a hand for being such amazing folks. So again, that's available after the service and next service. Maybe you want to get it for yourselves. You get it individual as well as the bundle. All right, let's dive in. Wow. That's not necessarily part of the message, but absolutely a part of the message, all right? Let's dive in today. The message is really surrounding our 23 hours of prayer that we had in January. Someone asked me recently, when are you going to talk about what we heard in 23 hours of prayer? And I'm like, yeah, I need to do that. So today's the day. This is what we're happening, the 23 hours of prayer. Someone said, why not 24? Because it's 2023. Next year we'll do 24 hours of prayer. Wait till we get to the year 2050. It's going to be great. All right, let's dive in today. You have your Bibles open up to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 through 29. Isaiah 40, 27 through 29. This verse was, it came out of the 23 hours of prayer, and I'll start with this. Why do you complain, O Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Why are you complaining, Jacob? Jacob is the name for Israel. He was the father of the 12 tribes. We could say, why are you complaining, Crossroads? I don't know if you are or not. Why do you believe that God is not hearing your prayers? And then he asked two questions. He said, do you not know? Have you not heard? He goes on and talks about who God is, which is very much in line as the word that came forward this morning, worship. Do you not know who God is personally? I was with a group of pastors praying this week, and among the group we have an Anglican priest. He's great. Father John, we call him. And he said he was doing a retreat for his church, and I was like, well, so what's the topic of the retreat? He said, living life in the midst of modality. I'm not getting it right. Nick, help me out. Modernity. Living life in the midst of modernity. And I was like, what? Are you speaking in tongues? What is going on here? I'm like, is this even legal? What is that word? And so I said, explain it to me. He said, well, what it means is a culture without God. It's just modern with I-T-Y on the end. That's what it is. Modernity. And so I'm like, wow. You know, he said it's like that you can think that you can go through life and have just as much peace and just as much success and just as much solid relationships, and you don't need God. That's what we've been fed today. We don't need the Lord. We can vote him out of the party. That's modernity. So I'm leading the meeting. I'm all charged up because I got this new word I've never heard before, and I'm bringing it back to the office. Billy had never heard of it because he's an engineer. I mean, they don't use those words in engineering term. Chris didn't hear our conversation, but Nick knew all about it. Come on. He was familiar with modernity. I couldn't believe it. It's like he and Emily had separate conversations over modernity. In fact, he had a book with a long title. He said, this is all about modernity. I'm like, what? Where was I? Yeah. So he's the smart one in the bunch. I'm like, man, I thought I had something on you guys. And just can't win. Just kidding. I love it. But then I thought, there's nothing new under the sun. They're practicing modernity here in Isaiah. They're complaining because they don't think God's listening. What's going on? They're thinking God's not hearing their prayers, separated from him. Yet the prophet goes back, do you not know? Have you not heard? God is the creator. You get tired, but he doesn't. In fact, he's the one that gives you power to come to life again. Well, we got to jump into today's message or we'll never get done. Here we go. Number one, prayer enables us to know what God is saying and doing. Prayer enables us to know what God is saying and doing. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Wow, what a great verse. Over the 23 hours, I think I counted up, there were over 35 people participating. And I was able, fortunate enough, to be a part of 12 of those hours. Not all the 23. I only led twice because other people were leading. Did a fantastic job. But what we did is we took that hour and we put it into three different increments. 20 minutes of pondering, asking the Lord, what do you want to say? 20 minutes of processing, what are we hearing the Lord saying of those that were in the circle that hour? And then 20 minutes of prayer. It's a very simple process, yet it was so profound that we would sit and just, Lord, what do you want to say? And then we would process what he's hearing, and then we would pray that which we heard him say in that hour. Very simple. In fact, it's something you can do at home. You say, oh, I don't have an hour to do that. Well, then do a 10-10-10. That's 30 minutes. I don't have 30 minutes. Well, do a 5-5-5. I mean, just start someplace. Take 5 minutes and just ponder, Lord, what do you want to say to me? And 5 minutes of processing that, just talk to yourself in a mirror if you need to, or talk to your spouse about what you're hearing. And then pray that for 5 minutes and see if that's not life-changing throughout your day. Very, very simple process that we had and that we practiced. It was so amazing. And then I found in Scripture where Daniel actually processed practiced that. You see, when we get praying, what I often notice is that people start quoting Scripture, which is naturally normal in a prayer meeting. You get reminded of God's promises. And so the first thing that I want to note there is the written word gives us promises. And that's a great thing to do in a prayer meeting. Bring your Bible, open up your phone, and quote the promises of God. That's valuable. That's important to remember. But the next thing that happens, and it happened in our prayer meeting, is there was a prophetic specifics that we're giving. In other words, the prophetic began to operate. That is, you have the written word, and then you have the prophetic word, which kind of gives specifics, maybe a picture, maybe an illustration that happened of taking that written word and begin to bring feet and legs to it, or maybe some understanding to it. That's the prophetic part of the prayer. And then finally, we ended up in prayer, which is actually we took that which God had spoken and that which he had prophetically massaged, and then we began to pray that into being that it would accomplish his purposes that he had for that time. And then I found in Daniel, that's exactly what he did. Let me read it for you. Daniel chapter 9, 1 through 4, said, in the first year of Darius the king, ruler over Babylon, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures. That's the written word. I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures. Here comes the prophetic word. According to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah, the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So Daniel had the written word that God had taken his people into captivity, and he was going to bring them out at some point. And he also had the prophetic word that it would last 70 years through Jeremiah. But then he didn't stop there. Go, okay, that's good. Let's wait and see it happen. That's not what Daniel did. What did he do? He prayed. So I turned to the Lord, and I pleaded with him in prayer and petition, fasting, sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. So he didn't just stop at the written word. He didn't stop at the prophetic word. He engaged that then with God in prayer to see it happen in the way that God wanted it to take place. Let's see what happened. Verse 20 of that chapter, we see kind of, Daniel goes through his prayer, but then we see the results of what happened. He says, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sins of my people Israel and making my request to the Lord God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in an earlier vision, came to me in a swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you begin to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. That all happened from God's side when Daniel engaged in prayer. So he had the written word, he had the prophetic word, and now he's engaging in prayer. And God says, as a result of you engaging in prayer, because you understand the written word, and because you've received the prophetic word, and now you're engaged in prayer, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you wisdom and understanding and insight into that which you're praying into. And that's what happens when we get together and we pray. Number two, God releases fresh and reoccurring insight. God released fresh and reoccurring insights every hour. Again, I mentioned I participated in 12 of the 23 hours. And what I noticed is I was from 10 o'clock until 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night till 8 o'clock in the morning. I noticed that every hour we'd say, God, what do you want to say? He would download something new. A new theme would come. We'd be praying into youth 1 hour. We'd be praying into marriages the next hour. There would be the written word that would be stated that we would be rejoicing in the promises of God. There was a picture of the ark opened up in the door. There was a message on freedom, and we were praying that people would be set free. Every hour there seemed to be a fresh theme that God brought forth as we prayed. It was a beautiful thing. If you're only there for 1 hour, which I'm grateful you kind of missed that, but if you're there for a long period of time, you see how God downloaded. Also, he not only did that, there were certain scriptures that he repeated. As I picked up and I read the journal, we journaled those hours as well. And it was amazing, amazing time together. I realized that, you know, in prayer, we have momentary prayer, but we also need to have extended prayer. What's momentary prayer? You know, like a prayer over a meal or a prayer over altar, you know, here at the end, or maybe a prayer, pastoral prayer with somebody. That's a momentary prayer. But we also need extended prayer, much like we do relationship. You know, we have modes of communication. We have text, we have talk, and we have walks. See, each one of those are different. A text is real momentary, short. I'm coming home. I'm at the corner. Do I pick up some groceries? That's a very, very short, momentary prayer. We need those kind of prayers. But we also need the talk prayers, like sitting over a meal with somebody or maybe your spouse or family and talk about our day and find out what we need to pray into. Those are the talk kind of prayers, an extended time. And then we have something that is more extended than that, and that is the walk prayers. That is, we go on a long walk with somebody or maybe with God, that we just spend extended time. And so that was the purpose of the 23 hours of prayer, that we not just be caught up in momentary prayers or intermediate prayers, but we have extended time that we spend with God to say, what do you want to say to us during this moment in time? And it's important that we recognize that all three are needed. We need the text prayers, we need the talk prayers, and we need the walk prayers. So we get to the theme of 23 hours. And I want to remind you that these seven that I'm going to mention, I want you to understand that they're all under the context of expansion. An umbrella is like, you know, you're under the umbrella. So I want you to understand that these seven things that I'm going to mention, they're not isolated, but they're under the umbrella of expansion. We all have different sizes umbrellas. We have umbrellas that just fit us, right? Just for us. And then we have umbrellas like this one. I think we could probably get two under pretty good. And then you got a golf umbrella as well. I don't own one, but I don't golf in the rain. That's just what I've decided to do, but some people do. They're huge umbrellas. And then, you got one that maybe is on the side of your on your deck that expands over your table. Again, God's saying he's expanding us. So I want you to understand that when I list these seven things that they are under the auspice of the umbrella that God is expanding out of Crossroads. And the thing that he's doing, I don't sense it's anything that we're going to pursue. It's something we already have, and God says, I want you to share that with others. Just like in the toolbox. It's things we already have. And God says, I want you to share that with others. That's what Wanda and I are going to Shippensburg here in 2 weeks, because the congregation have invited us, and it ends up going to be regional. They're coming because the things that you take for granted here are not so in the body of Christ out there. I wish it were so. But as I walk in different circles and meet different pastors and places, the things that we experience here and begin to take for granted that everybody is not so. And so we have to recognize that God has graced us with some treasures that he wants us to then share with others. And that's the expansion that is currently taking place. All right, these seven themes, I'm going to be kind of fast running through these things. So listen fast, right? I'll talk fast, you listen fast. The first one is rest. Rest. This verse was repeated four times. So I think God wants to get our attention. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Many times we get worn out in life, and yet observe the people that get worn out in life oftentimes disconnect from God to try to regain. They pull out of their relationship with God because they're worn out from the world. That won't get you anywhere, folks. You have to recognize that the world has worn you out. And if God has worn you out, you're into religion more than relationship. Because relationship doesn't wear you out. Relationship fuels you up. And we read opening that God says, I am a God that never grows tired or weary, and therefore you can come to me and you can get fired up again, you can get fueled up again when you're in my presence. But we have to break from what the world is doing to us, and that might take time and it might take purpose. But we can break from the world, but if you want to get refueled from your weariness, you have to spend time in God's presence, not just break from the world. And yet many people do the opposite. They break from God to try to recover from what the world has put on them. I better move on or I'll start preaching. Number two, watch. Second word, watch. Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Watch. This word really came out of Jesus in the garden, speaking to his disciples, said, "Will you watch with me 1 hour? Watch with me 1 hour and pray with me 1 hour that you may not fall into temptation." And so again, in the midst of our expanding, we need to know how to rest. We need to know how to receive from God. We also need to watch and pray so that we don't miss what God is doing. The third word is the word listen. Listen, a reoccurring theme. In fact, this was mentioned twice throughout the 23 hours. Samuel 3, 8 through 10. Samuel was learning how to hear the voice of God. He didn't know. He didn't understand who God's voice was. And so he's sleeping. And the first time that God came to him, he didn't know it was God. The second time, he didn't know it was God. He thought it was Eli calling to him in his sleep. He got up and woke up the old man. The old man says, "Go back to sleep. What are you doing?" And then the third time, Eli recognized, wait a minute, maybe God's calling the boy. He said, "Listen, go lay down again. And if the Lord comes back to you a fourth time, then you say, 'Here I am, Lord, I'm listening.'" Wanda asked the question when she opened up last week, whether or not if God would stop by and come in, would we recognize him? And my answer to that is we might not the first time, but God is a persistent God, just like with Samuel. Samuel didn't know the voice of God, but God didn't give up on Samuel because he knew that Samuel was worth coming back time and time again saying, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And then finally, Samuel recognized and listened, and God delivered his word. And so we need to be listening people through our time of expansion. We have Mark Verkler coming in June. Mark has been used of God. He's been here before Crossroads. It's been a while. Been used of God to teach the body of Christ how to hear the voice of God. It's very simple, very, very plain way. And if you practice it, you will hear the voice of God. So Mark's coming in June to be able to share that again here in our congregation and for the area. Here's the next theme. I thought this was great. There's word insurance came. I thought this was amazing. The word insurance. This says that God is your insurance. And I thought about that and I thought, wow, that's so profound. God is your insurance. You know what? We all have insurances, right? We're required to for our car, maybe our house. Maybe there's other things you got insurance for. Maybe you got insurance for your dog. I don't know. But the fact is that we're all called to have insurances. And so how insurances work is you pay money, there's a deductible, and then if something catastrophic happens, that policy then gives back to that which happened to you, right? That's how it works. I began to think, I thought, wonder if there's a deductible on this insurance that God has for us. And I thought about the deductible's paid. Jesus paid it. Zero deductible. Hallelujah. And then I thought about, I said, I wonder what the premium is for this insurance policy. And I thought, my eyes were drawn on the page to the one word, and the word was humility. If you stay humble, that's the premium. He says he gives grace to the humble and he opposes the proud. That's the premium to receive this benefit from the insurance policy when the enemy comes in and tries to wreck us. God is your insurance. Hallelujah. Let's move on. Freedom. There's a verse there. I won't take time to read it. You can read it later. Freedom. Wow, this came across, actually these two verses came across five times during the 23 hours. Three times, Isaiah 60, 1 through 5, and then Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, was actually came up twice. Let me read them for you. Isaiah 60, 1 through 5, arise, Jerusalem. We could say, arise, Crossroads. We could put our names in there. Let your light shine before all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth. But the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light, and mighty kings will come to see your radiance. Look and see, for everyone is coming home. Did you hear that? Look and see, for everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands, and your daughters are being carried home. Wow. Your eyes will shine and your heart will thrill with joy. I don't know about you, but that to me indicates the prodigals are coming back. Maybe not family prodigals, but maybe church prodigals are coming back. They're coming back. They're saying, my wandering is going on too long and I need to come back. I need to experience the freedom of the Lord. I was pondering about what caused the prodigal son to come back to the father. And as I analyzed that, I mean, he recognized he broke relationship spiritually as well as personally. But it was really a physical need that caused him to turn. He was feeding pigs. He was hungry. He didn't have any friends. I'm not sure about shelter. It was a physical need that got his attention to said, I can't do this anymore. Maybe I need to turn back to my father. So let's be ready to receive the prodigals when they come. Amen? Amen. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives to be released and the prisoners be free. He sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of the Lord's anger against their enemies. Love that translation, New Living Translation. Fear not, I am with you. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, I have redeemed you. Isaiah 43:1. Our freedom ministries have already gone on the road. Last week they ministered in the Eastern Shore, Free Me Day. A group of people came together and said, we want to understand how to get free. And a friend of mine said, we want your freedom team to come to our church. That's expanding. It's not setting out to do anything other than the fact of what God has put in us, that others say, we want to come and experience what you are experiencing. It's already taking place. Expansion is on the way. I'm going to talk about governance here for a few moments. Governance. I don't think we really understand the government of God very much. We tend to think that the government of God operates like our earthly governments, that we can just vote on things and that God's in agreement with that. We can vote God off the party and God's okay with that. I don't think we understand or comprehend about how God's government works. I think that's something that over these next 10 years, that's one of the things the Lord had been speaking to me, is that we need to re-examine our doctrines, not our dogma. If you understand the difference, I don't have time to go into it. We're not going to examine our dogma, but we're going to understand, we're going to examine our doctrines, because I think the ways that we have been believing isn't working. And God always works. God always has something to contribute. God always has something to answer. And if we're not hearing it or thinking he doesn't have the answer, we've been lied to. And sometimes it's doctrine we believe. And I believe that over these next 10 years, the church as a whole is going to re-examine their doctrine. And it's going to line up more biblically of what God has in mind. And we're going to see more of what happened in the book of Acts happen around us, because we've re-examined our beliefs. So I'm going to just bring up one. I might be stepping on some toes, but look out, all right? Here we go. We've been schooled in this way of believing because of our songs and because of our bumper stickers. And here it is. We've been schooled to believe that God's in control. He's not in control. He's in charge. Why do I distinguish the difference? Because if he were in control, then he would be in control of evil. And the evil things that take place in our life, we would have to say, well, that has to be contributed to God if we believe that God's in control. But if we believe that God's in charge, just like parents are in charge of their children, but they're not in control of their kids. Come on now, parents. If we were in control of our kids, they would turn out much differently than perhaps they are. But we're not, because God gave them free will to choose. But we're in charge of them as their parents. And in the same way, in this earth, he's in charge, but he's not in control, because he's decided to weld us to participate with him. And when evil happens in this world, we do it to ourselves. God's not involved in that. There's evil people that have shut God out. Therefore, they're listening to the devil rather than God. They're the ones causing the evil. God's not deciding that, but God's the way out of evil. So he's in charge. He can step in at any time that we say, God, you need to step into this. He will step in. He's true to that. But he's not in control, because if he were, then evil wouldn't be happening. But there will be a day when it will be in charge, in control. It's called heaven. So it's not yet, but there will be a now. God's government. Isaiah 9:7, you can read that later, familiar passage. I'm going to move to the last one because my time is done. The legacy of love. Here's the last theme. We're supposed to leave a legacy of love. Billy opened up this morning the service. He talked about His love endures forever. I love that illustration that he gave in regards to the fact that there's now more people living on the earth today than have ever lived at one time, and yet his love is not diminished. It's not diluted. You know, our way of thinking is the more content that you have, you know, it gets diluted because there's more people sucking it up. And yet, that's not the way it is. God's love is just as pure and just as wholesome and just as plentiful as it was if there would be one person on the earth. Amazing. And so Psalm 136 reads, His love endures forever. And it goes through the history of Israel. You could go through your history. And at the end of the phrase, it says, His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. And we need to understand this is a theme that came through in our 23 hours of prayer, that His love endures forever. Let me conclude with this verse out of Galatians. Galatians 5, 6 through 9. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. In other words, you can't work your way to salvation. It's impossible. It's a free gift. And then he says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And then Paul comes in and he says this. You were running a good race. Who cut in to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Wow. There it is. Put in the most simplified form that I could put it. A summary of our 23 hours of prayer in 7 different areas. As we expand, he wants us to learn how to rest. He wants us to remind us to watch and pray. He wants to make sure that we listen for his voice. And we can rest assured that he is a great insurance policy. The deduction is paid. The premium is humility. Freedom is ready for those who are in captivity. He's given us a mandate. Governance, learn how he governs, which is different from our way. And finally, leave a legacy of love. I want to invite you this morning to be reminded that as you pray and grow in prayer, that it's important to understand that the Word of God is critical as we pray. But also the prophetic word that comes to bring wisdom and understanding and maybe specifics is also important. But that's not the end. The end then is to pray based on His Word, based on the prophetic word, to pray to see the purposes of God fulfilled in the way that He wants them fulfilled. That's how Daniel did it. He had incredible, incredible results. And Daniel's nobody special. You and I have the same type of audience and friendship and understanding that Daniel did. Now it's time to walk in at church.